WildTalkRadio.com.
Intro. The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hi everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer. And you're tuned in to the, what was it?
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
No way!
Yes way!
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Excellent!
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
How's it going, Royal Ugly Dude?
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
As we told ourselves to listen to this guy.
Heartbreak Mike.
Greetings, my excellent friends.
The Omega.
Everybody get together, remember who your buddy is.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
All right, lock him up with the rest of those wackos.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
It's the best there is, and I know because so am I. I'm Austin Aries.
This is a Stampede Kid, TJ Wilson, and I advise you to listen to WTR Sunday Night.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Listen to this.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Back.
WTR Sunday Night.
Let's go talk to ourselves.
All right. Time for me to go.
On this new shit, not following the wave. Too many out of surfing, got no time for wasting, man. Far too busy working. Nothing slowing down my pace. I grew up in different places every day.
And welcome everyone to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is our review of the Elimination Chamber. For all those listening in the Phoenix, Arizona area, specifically in the vicinity of the Talking Sticks Resort Arena, please be on the lookout for a white workaholic reeking of pop vinyls that you may find on the side of the road somewhere with possible lesions, contusions, and broken body parts, as he may or may not have tried to abduct wrestlers far, far stronger than him, and that's just the women, let alone the 300-pound slabs of meat they hang out with.
Well done.
That public announcement out of the way, I am the Omega, the be-all and all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
That was a thing.
That was fucking awesome.
It was. No. I'm speechless that they've actually are listening.
It's more than a thing. That was fucking awesome. Just saying.
I'm still trying to grasp it. You'll hear it later tonight.
You may need to speak up. My hearing is a little shot, though.
I said that I am going to fuck off.
No.
Don't tell me you actually willingly were on the phone with her.
Oh, we were on the phone the whole time for that match. Yeah.
She probably screamed in your ear. She probably screamed in your ear and everything else.
Why would you put yourself in Ground Zero, the Sonic Boom?
Because it's fun.
Because it's fun?
It's fun.
Okay.
Because wrestling is fucking fun, and if you don't enjoy fucking wrestling, then stop watching.
You know what? I'll take that.
Introduce the Canadian.
And, of course, leading this cavalcade of mischief, the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Elimination Chamber Review edition of WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wrist Talk Radio Network. Don't Wild Talk Radio Network, shut up. WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, live via the interwebs. Simulcast on the TuneIn app, free, download it to your mobile device. Search Wild Talk Radio Network, not Wrestle Talk Radio Network, and listen on the go. So, WWE tonight was WWE. And WWE fans exploded. I am sure that half the country is deaf from the squee heard around the world.
It finally happened.
Omega screamed at the top of his lungs. The whole world shook.
I was so happy for Cruz and Kalisto.
Here I thought
Sweet.
I thought he was going to say Mojo and Hawkins.
Oh, no. That was off the hook.
I already forgot that happened.
Unbloody believable. And don't blame me for this one, but somebody asked me, and to hell with it, I'm actually going to ask the question because they asked me and I'm just going to pass it on. How many farts do you think AJ Styles has had to absorb in the middle of a three count after he's laid out the Styles Clash?
One. Why would anyone want to know that?
I don't know.
Two, no one should ever want to know that.
So that's out there. That's something for you to ponder. Just for shits and giggles, there's a new petition up on iPetitions.com.
Tim, don't say shits and giggles after that comment.
Yes. Good call. Good call.
Phrasing, as Archer would say. Phrasing, Lana. Just for giggles, there's a petition. Just sign it for the hell of it. It's fun. I mean, geez, if you don't think stuff like this is entertaining, you need to get a life. iPetitions.com/petitions/remove-David-Otunga.
We'll explain why that exists here.
All right, sign.
Quick, sign, people, sign!
Oh, we'll get into David Tunga and his
only 998 signatures away. Rock, you said yes, please do, and I'm still waiting for you to sign the damn thing. Get on that.
I've been busy.
No, sure, always an excuse.
I've been taking notes for this entire show. Been busy.
There you go.
I've been busy. Later, at some point, we will have a live phone and call from someone who is actually in the building.
Oh, you mean we don't have to start a GoFundMe to pay for his bail?
Okay, we don't know this for sure yet.
Okay. So we're on standby to hit the GoFundMe website in case we got to raise bail for the unpaid intern.
Well, I have to find his body first.
Right. Yeah. As Omega said, he could be somewhere on the side of the road. We never know.
Okay. I think that our very own WTR Oreo, that's right, Heartbreak Mike, would like to make an announcement. Mike, please do so because this is well deserved.
Mm-hmm. And he says nothing.
Mike?
Okay.
I say something. All right. Anyway, as many as you all know, we also here are proud of people who winning championships like Bray Wyatt. One of our own,
spoiler,
Bruiser Schmidt, or if you guys don't, well, formerly know him as Spug. He is the NWA Midwest Heavyweight Champion. And I'd say from all of us to all of you, bro, congratulations.
Yeah, it's and well I, and Mike means all of you.
Yes.
Every last inch of you, Spug. Congratulations, yes. Buddy. I'm happy for you.
Very well deserved, man.
Yeah, well done.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Very proud of you.
Spug and I have had our own headbutting, but I've always been happy to hear him do well in his wrestling career, and I'm just tickled to hear that he's won the Midwest Heavyweight title. The NWA Midwest Heavyweight title, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, work got in the way of the most of the pre-show, Rock. Again, because, you know, it's Sunday.
And boy, what a pre-show it was. And I'm now going to turn it over to Omega to break down the amazing, awesome, super spectacular Curt Hawkins versus Mojo Rawley match. Go, Omega.
Oh, my God.
Okay. We really
can't help but wonder how many people got that joke.
Such a waste of space.
No, it wasn't. Wonder why? It gave us the best gift we'll see all week. Happened before the match.
JBL.
Yeah, the Texas two-step fall.
That had nothing to do with that match.
Well, he had to come out to call the match, so it worked.
He had to come out to call their whole show.
It was a tie-in.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Okay, now break down the match then.
Thanks, Mike.
Go ahead.
Come on, Omega. Break it down.
Break what down? It's exactly what you think it is.
JBL broke
Kurt
it down.
Hawkins is terrible, and Mojo Rawley's not much better. Mojo went through an 8-minute match basically just ramming into Kurt Hawkins the entire time. That's that is literally the limit of his offense.
His finish is a tilt-a-whirl. He needs a better finish than a tilt-a-whirl.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
What two about the scary?
I mean, two out of three ain't bad.
Was there two in this one?
I mean, believe it or not, I mean, in NXT, didn't he have a different finisher?
Wasn't he using the pounce?
No further questions, Your Honor.
Anyway, Mojo won.
You're asking me to recall Mojo Rawlins before he was main roster worthy.
Mojo Rawley. Mojo Rawley, not Rawlins. Good job, Otunga.
I just want better wrestlers right now. I want to talk about a better wrestler.
Give it time. We will.
Even with a bad knee, he's a better wrestler.
Oh, God.
Mojo Rawley is your winner. Let's move to the main show. This is why Tim started a petition. Becky Lynch, Mickie James, they had a really good match. But David Otunga was trying to show that because Mickie James was gone for 7 years, she had ring rust.
Thank you, JBL. That's all I can say about that one. Thank you very much, JBL, for smartening David Otunga the fuck up.
He didn't, though. No, he didn't. Because here's the thing. David was sticking to his point the entire time. Was
attempting to smarten him the fuck up.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
David's a dumbass.
Oh, it's because there's only so much you can do.
Which, if you go by his logic, Becky's been working every single day, unlike Mickie James, who hasn't. So Becky's been in the WWE working the WWE schedule for 7 years, because that's totally been a thing. She's been on the main roster, what, a year and a half now? Closing on 2 years? Good logic, David Otunga. Good logic. Good idiot. Logic.
Idiot.
JBL also...
Sign the petition.
JBL also called Mickie James Mickie Lynch. That was good. But onto the match, these two were good.
They weren't bad.
What, they weren't good?
They presented an entertaining wrestling match with a couple of really good spots, and they definitely gave you the feeling that they're going to have a rematch and turn it up a notch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah. You could tell it's not over between the two, and that's something you'd get from a ring veteran like Mickie James.
Yep.
It's like that ability to hold back just enough to where the next time you have that rematch, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, people are going to take this the wrong way when I say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Mickie James is looking really good for her age.
Mickie James is looking really good for someone who popped out of baby.
I am talking about her ring work and not her physique or her body.
Sure, Tim.
Shut up, Tim. Come on, figure it out. She's had to shake off 7 years of ring rust. She shook something out. That's right.
Oh! Can we actually say TNA now since they're not using the letters anymore?
Go ahead.
No, they haven't sold TNA yet, those letters yet. Don West is working on it.
His deal of the day.
It'll be in a brown bag somewhere. So you may luck out. You may get the T from the TNA at some point in a Don West brown bag special. Shop TNA, everyone.
Say a brown bag special like he's homeless or something.
Well, that's what he does. Anyway.
No, it's what he does, but...
Anyway, Becky Lynch won. Surprised?
Yes.
No.
No.
And I'll tell you why I'm surprised. Even though I shouldn't be, probably. In my opinion, just coming from somebody who's written this shit out and gone through it with other bookers, it makes more sense to me to have given the win, not to Becky, but to the other one. That's right, Mickie James. Why? Does Mickie need the win? No, of course not. Is Mickie the grizzled veteran returning to WWE? You could look at it that way. You know, yeah, use her to get everybody over. Becky Lynch does not need to be gotten over anymore. She's already over. Why should Mickie have won? It's a better setup for their feud. So, okay, Jacques.
At the same time, how many times have people, and us included, criticized WWE putting over the past talents above their current roster? Like the old ones are so much better and so great compared to the crop we've been turning out in the last few years?
Well, no, you've got a point. But tell me something, Omega. If Mickie James had beaten Becky, would you have had that feeling? Or would you have said, okay, yeah, I get it.
I see where both makes sense.
Okay.
I think you do need to make the new crop look good as opposed to like, cause it does add credibility. And let's be honest, Becky of the Divas Revolution has probably had the hardest go around.
Uh huh.
You know, she spent the better part of the time before the brand split being basically the jobber of the three, of the call up three.
Yep.
So
they call themselves in NXT the Four Horsewomen.
The Four Horsewomen.
If you include the other one.
only three because Bayley had to be the big NXT star for a while.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to actually establish that the older generation, not I say that very carefully with Mickey involved here. the old generation of talent isn't you know, isn't like the be all end all, to coin a phrase.
Of the
pro wrestling industry. That the new talent can stand up to him and be just as good. That said, you know, showing that Mickey still has it and that she can be a major obstacle for Becky to overcome also would have made booking sense to me.
Yeah, and at the same time, Mickey James coming back is not like Triple H coming out of semi-retirement to bury somebody, you know, and I'm using heavy, thick quotes.
I stand.
Air quotes. Right. Yeah. Hi, Sting. We miss you, Steve. Mike, what's your take on what Omega and I were just talking about?
I mean, I.
Yeah, right?
I mean, I have no words, honestly. I'm not even going to lie to you guys. No words whatsoever. But you guys are absolutely correct. Well, it is what it is.
No, you know, like. Just like I'm saying, in this situation, I wouldn't see it as, you know, giving preferential treatment to the returning old guy.
I don't, you know what? I agree with that. Fuck that. I agree with it.
You're very easygoing tonight. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Because I'm still trying to grasp the whole entire pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That's all. I'm still trying to grasp that.
Yeah. Well, it had its ups and downs, and the absorption is things happened that we expected to happen, and we were thinking would be good to happen, and they actually happened. And that might be your minor stumbling block. I know it is for a lot of people. It's like, whoa, they actually did it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Rock, in answer to your question, I guess leaning towards more disappointed just from the booking aspect. As opposed to Omega and Mike not being surprised.
All right, so we'll move on. Next matchup on the show, Apollo Crews and Kalisto versus Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, boy. I'm sick of Dolph. Can we start a petition to fire him?
I think, and make it so bad I can actually talk about this match.
Okay, go for it.
First of all, booking ain't shit. Poor Kalisto.
No, Kalisto. Not poor Kalisto. Poor LED set.
Yeah,
it was just funny though. Lucha, Dolph Ziggler. Nope, bitch. Pow! Right now, in the LED.
To be fair, we just saw that with Kevin Owens and Braun Strowman, where Strowman takes out Jericho right away, and we call, oh well, that's actually really smart of him. That makes perfect sense.
That LED was the goat tonight. But anyway, go on in there.
Pretty quick at repairing that too, weren't they?
I'm telling you, it was very quick. You go on. They have the match. What surprised me, I hate to say it, but the fact that match was good. Not even gonna lie. WWE really okay. The main roster kind of screwed over Apollo Crews. They bought him up a little bit too
fast. He needed another year in NXT. Yeah. He definitely needed another year in NXT. He was brought up because Vince went, ooh, I like his size. Can we have him here? Cool.
Vince is hard on for the bigger boys.
Vince, he kind of needs a personality first.
Well, see, the thing of it is, was that because if... Well, I don't know if you guys look at the indies. Hint, hint. But...
we'll talk about that later, Mike.
He had a gimmick. That's the problem. Everyone knew him as Yuha Nation. But because of certain individuals in creative, hey, you can't use that. All right, well, I guess I'll just be Apollo Crews then. So you guys got for me. Let me introduce you to Triple H. He's the guy from NXT. And that was probably that happened. But I hate to say this, but this is his first win since how long?
And he needed Kalisto's help to get it?
He beat Miz back in December to get an Intercontinental title match.
Who remembers that?
I remembered it.
Pepperidge Farm remembers it.
Oh my god.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
I can't believe you made that reference.
Sorry.
Thanks, Mike.
it was there. I'm sorry, Rob. I'm sorry.
In the back of my mind, I thought, I was like, no.
He just put Family Guy right into the back of my brain with that one.
Sorry, guys. I had to. But anyway, I mean, Peppers. Yeah, it makes him look weak. You got a guy who can do a standing shooting star, and you got to have Botchmania help you win?
That's a little mean. I mean, it's not Sin Cara.
Sorry, you're right. You had...
That's a little racist. Just saying.
You're right. Okay. I can't
Rey Mysterio Mark II.
Okay. That's not a little racist. It's a little bigoted against Sin Cara.
Fine. Rey Mysterio III.
No, it's a little luchador is what it is.
A little luchador. Jesus Christ.
Almost. That's what she said.
Yeah, she did. She'll say that later this weekend. Anyway, but all in all, guys.
Breaking the stereotype.
This weekend. We've only got 20 minutes left.
Well, hey, your weekend starts when your work week ends.
Touche.
My weekend starts tomorrow night.
Last
whole fucking day.
But it made him look weak. It made him really look really weak, and it just disappointed me for that finish. Yeah, they won. Yay, he finally gets a win, but why did he need help? He could probably pick up and throw Kalisto on accident, but, you know, that's just me. All in all, I give it a 3.5 out of 5.
I give it a fuck.
Wow, so you actually give a fuck, unlike some people I know.
I mean, yeah.
Come on, that was good.
Yeah, it was.
I don't see how this match does anything for anybody.
It did nothing for nobody.
It was a filler.
It wasn't even a filler. It was pointless.
It was, oh, you know what? We're trying to get Dolph Ziggler over the hill, so let's just bury him.
Okay.
But yet the crowd cheers still.
They're cheering him.
Oh, thank you, Ziggler. The crowd cheered.
The crowd in Phoenix ain't shit.
Here's this guy who's just trying to stick up for his little buddy, and the crowd's going, thank you, Ziggler, as he crushes the guy's ankle.
I mean...
Dude.
Now, to be fair, part of me is like, okay, they're actually behind Ziggler. They wanted Ziggler to be a heel. Thank God they're getting a reaction from Ziggler again. At the same time, I don't think it's quite the reaction they were looking for.
Or hoping to get.
But here's the thing, they shouldn't expect it because every time he's attacked these two guys, he's been cheered. Fart. So it's like, this is not working. Like, heel Ziggler is not working. Babyface Ziggler wasn't working. They need to figure out something else.
He's at a level where he could almost be like an Austin or Eddie Guerrero style face, where he just doesn't give a shit about rules or playing nice. He just does whatever the fuck he wants.
So Braun Strowman.
Not even like Braun. Because, you know, at least Braun is still kind of playing within the bounds of like a wrestling show. You know, he didn't go and beat up Mick Foley in order to get what he wanted.
You know what? I'll agree with that.
Statement retracted.
Yep.
So after the match, after Ziggler lost again, he went and attacked Kalisto, knocked him out of the ring, and then did the whole chair, ankle, stomp thing, and Paolo apparently has injured ankles now.
Thank you, Ziggler.
So that's the thing.
Thank you for crippling a man.
Just saying, people don't think before they chant. Mob mentality.
Jesus.
Don't take me at face value. I was kidding, Matt. It was being, like, satirically facetious. My goodness.
Remember, he's like 45 seconds behind, so we don't even know what he's going, oh, wow, for. Anyway.
He's listening on 10 different devices. One of them has to be up to speed.
Maybe. I mean, he just moved up from DSL, so.
Oh, man. DSL needs to be retired.
And that's coming from Tim.
Hey, I happen to be on high-speed cable.
Just saying. Anyway. Let's go for some turmoil, tag team turmoil for this
match. Hey, wait a minute!
What?
Yeah, I just got that.
What show am I even on right now?
I don't know. My head hurts now. Anyway, SmackDown Tag Team.
You're on Head Hurt Sunday Night.
Live on the Wrestle Something Radio Network.
WrestleFest Radio Network.
I was going to say another word, but then I would have plugged the website that I didn't want to plug.
Brought to you by Advil.
God, I could use one right now.
All right. Especially for this matchup. All right, SmackDown Tag Team titles on the line. Tag Team Turmoil, the American Alpha, the Usos, the Vaudevillains, the Rhino and Heath Slater, the Ascension and the Breezango. Yes, I said the for every name.
The Breezango.
The match where we bury our entire division.
Yeah, in one fell swoop.
I hate Tag Team Turmoil.
especially when the champions go over.
It's completely utter. Yeah, well, when the champions go over, it buries your entire tag division. But at the same time, it never fucking matters unless it's the final two. Like, there is literally no point. There's no drama. It would be different if, like, if Tag Team Turmoil was done in the age of, like, the Brothers of Destruction, and they just tore through, like, four teams in a row. That would, you know, then you'd at least have some reason to give a shit about the first two-thirds of the match. Fuck, the first three-quarters of a match.
Here's the thing with this. Did this matchup do anything for American Alpha?
No!
Would it have done something if they actually started number one?
Where they
actually went through every tag team and showed dominance. Instead,
but at the same time, there's where you come across a problem. If you have a monster team like the Brothers of Destruction, you could run roughshod over an entire division and make them just seem indomitable. That makes it a big deal when they do end up losing the belts. You can't do it with a team like American Alpha, because that just, no offense to them, they're amazing athletes. They are a great tag team. It would make the entire division look weak, though. And Tag Team Turmoil usually does a good job of that all by itself.
Tag Team Turmoil actually, it wrecks the tag division. It really does. It hurts everybody.
Tag Team Turmoil is a great matchup for a house show, because it gets everyone on a show, they all get a payday, and no one sees it. On pay-per-view, it hurts everybody.
Great match because nobody sees it.
Because they've been doing this matchup on house shows for a month now. Just saying. And this is what we got out of it. Breezango and Slater started with Slater and Rhino. Rhino was over. Von Villains at least got a couple moves in when they came in after Breezango got eliminated.
Someone pointed out to me that with his hair wet and slicked back and with the massive mutton chops that he has right now, that Rhino looks like the Honky Tonk Man on gamma radiation.
That's pretty accurate description.
It fucked with my perception the entire time they were out there. Like, I could not unsee that.
That's a very accurate description. All right, Slater and Rhino got eliminated by the Usos. Crowd was disappointed. Usos as heels just. You lose.
No. The first time, when they came up with that gangster, yeah, West Side, East Coast, motherfucking bullshit, Nichols. When when it first started, leave me alone.
That's good. I like that. Keep it up. Do it more often.
It first started, it was cool, and then the Usos got fat, and now they're just a typical Samoan.
There's generic tag team 101.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
It's like he went through, like, create a wrestler on WWE 2K17 and didn't change anything.
Yeah, they did.
It's like they took heel lessons from their dad. They have expect their theme music to start with, "We're bad men."
I hope not. Ew. Ugh. Well, but I can say the Usos, well, I can't even say that. The Usos as a heel are okay. They just need to drop the do-rags. Sorry. Hashtag not my Usos.
Not my Usos.
No. And then, but then they did the generic heel shit because afterwards they lost.
They were told to?
Oh, of course. Oh, God.
Do you have that theme?
Because I do.
I don't think I know you anymore.
Oh, God.
Exactly.
They added
bad memories.
I'm just going to say this. They took all the personality out of the Usos.
I can taste copper. Why can't I taste copper?
Oh, God. Get the Raw tag titles out your mouth. Oh, look. David Otunga's on my television. Oh, look. It's a reality TV show.
I'm doubly sorry for you.
So, the Usos lose to American Alpha. Then they go super kick crazy on American Alpha. They attack them on the outside, leave them laying. Ascension come in. The crowd's actually buzzing a little bit. Oh, my God. Can the Ascension actually win two matches in a row? Could it be a thing? Follow, man. Two count.
Yo, I was like, if the Ascension wins this, I will be like, you know what? This is the prime example of nigga, we made it.
First off, just for something, I thought Gable was the legal man because he's the one who got the pin in the last fall, but they made
Jordan. Get out of my head.
Jordan was legal. But
fuck that WWE logic.
Logical booking. Wonder if it's in the rule book somewhere. I don't know. I'll have to look it up later. But in the end, American Alpha retain with grand amplitude.
I will say that was a beautiful grand amplitude.
Yeah, it was.
And rolling back in to get the other half of it done. It was beautiful timing.
You know, when they got the beat down, when Ascension got the beat down and then, damn it, American Alpha, wake up. When American Alpha got the beat down and then the Ascension came out, I'm thinking, why don't you guys work harder to bury these guys? How to make a team look really, really weak? Have them lose to the team that just got the shit kicked out of them after winning a really more physical match.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought. It's one of the reasons why, yeah, I'm not too happy with this match at all.
The Ascension really could be something if they actually tried to put anything into them. Like they're the only ones who actually carry themselves. Like they aren't walking around in, you know, cop outfits with a selfie stick throwing tickets around. You know, they're not, you know, pretending like they're from the 1920s. They're actually trying to put on an intimidating persona. And if you actually make that persona mean something instead of just being silly paint and a weird entrance, it might actually take off. They might actually seem menacing.
So, still, tag team champions. American Alpha up next.
Woot.
Nikki Bella versus Natalya.
Oh my god.
They've been trying to beat each other's ass for 6, 7, 8 weeks now, and then they come out and wrestle. Not the type of match they should have had. The finish afterwards was what the match should have been. Just pointing that out. But thoughts
to me a favor and state that one more time from beginning to finish.
Why?
Just do it.
No, I'm not saying it again.
No, say it again. There is a major point that we want to make sure people don't miss. Say what you just said. Reiterate, please.
Okay, they've been trying to beat each other's ass for over 2 months now. They had a wrestling match. They should have been beating each other's ass like they did after the finish happened.
During the match.
During the match, yes.
Exact. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm just distracted looking up. I'm trying to look up the rule book for tag team turmoil.
Okay, yeah, you're going to be giving us a couple of different rule book rules from the rule book tonight.
Yeah, I have the WWE Book of Rules review coming soon at WildTalkRadio.com.
One of the funniest books, according to Rock, that they have put out in a long time.
Indeed. But yeah, they try ground submission wrestling. Cause reasons?
I don't have any.
Because Natty likes submission wrestling?
She was trained by the Hearts.
She'll let you know that at any time she has something to do.
Oh, yeah.
Even in her brand new column in the Calgary Sun. Available on Fridays.
Oh, my God. I hope that column gets better. I know. Yeah, I know Natty, and we're friends. And I'm friends with her husband, TJ, and, you know, all of them. But that was such a weak column. It should have been booked better. I give it a 4 out of 10.
That joke could have been a lot better, and you went right for the 4 out of 10. Anyway.
Well, I was finished. Of course I went for the 4 out of 10.
Anyway, match ended in double countout.
That's always great on the pay-per-view.
Then I understand why they did that.
I don't.
But I still disagree with it.
I don't understand why they did it. They should have finished the feud.
Because Bella's last match is at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. And she's tagging with her boyfriend.
And they set up her match later in another part of the brawl. But
yeah, and then they continue to set it up in the main event.
I didn't say I agreed with it. I didn't say it was a smart thing to do. All I said was I understand why they did it.
We all understand why they do things.
No, actually, people don't always understand why they do things, okay. Rock. And you know what I'm talking about.
Okay. I understood why they do things.
You're welcome.
Doesn't mean I agree with how they did it. Or the logical side of my brain doesn't.
I hate The Miz.
Miz is awesome.
You're supposed to hate The Miz. He's a bad guy.
That's the idea. Making a point.
Anyway. Anyway, match ends in double count out. They continue to fight. That's where we leave things for that feud. Anything you guys want to add to that?
It, for what it was, except for the finish, it was not a bad match. The whole idea was, oh, Nikki's gonna try to out-wrestle Natty. Natty, the only woman trained in Stu Hart's dungeon. Ooh, trained by the Hart family, trained by her grandpa. Nah, she wasn't really in, you know, okay, breaking kayfabe. But you get the idea. And here comes Nikki Bella, Miss, oh, I'm so pretty because I'm dating John Cena, blah, 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 blah. He's going to leave you. I'm going to out-wrestle you because you're supposed to be so good, but I'll be better. Ugh, please.
Feel better now, Tim?
Mini retarded rant over, he said with a question mark at the end of it. Stop that!
No, we're going to break.
Oh, okay, well, in that case...
Stop going to break.
There you go. Yeah, stop not going to break. You're listening to WTR Sunday Nights. Stop that. Elimination Chamber review show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, www.wildtalkradio.com. If you're not listening live, smarten up and join us on Sunday nights, immediately following every pay-per-view or 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain on non-pay-per-view nights. We'll be back right after this. You won't be all alone down there on the floor. Cause you can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming of the stars above. I can see that you want me so much, but there's just no way that you can call me.
Have you subscribed to the Rack Radio Show YouTube channel? If you haven't, here is what you are missing. 5 days of WWE 2K17 content featuring Mashup Monday, featuring your favorites performing entrances of other WWE superstars. Tuesday is Raw Redo, featuring a recreation of a match from the previous night's edition of Monday Night Raw. Wednesday is Wild Card Wednesday, where anything could happen in WWE 2K17. Thursday is Throwback Thursday, featuring a historical matchup from WWE history. Friday is Fantasy Friday, featuring a dream match between two WWE superstars. Plus monthly simulations of every WWE pay-per-view. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now to youtube.com/RecRadioShow for daily content from WWE 2K17.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in... I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list. Write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch.
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE.
Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
What is the greatest vacation destination of all time? CB Radio has decided. It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard every Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern Time, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm about to get political for a quick sec before we get back into the show. I am just exceedingly, I'm normally a laid-back, fairly easygoing guy. I just pretend to be all stressed out and need to cut down on my coffee. But this is something that pisses me off. I happen to be as straight as you come. I am not gay. However, I have a lot of friends and acquaintances who happen to be of the same-sex persuasion. Recently, the chairman of Barilla Pasta made some extremely anti-homosexual remarks and basically stated on a radio interview that if the gays don't like it, they're invited to eat a different brand of pasta. Well, I'm going to join all of those gay people in boycotting Barilla Pasta. And I invite you all to do the same thing. This is absolutely nuts, especially in this day and age. I'm so cute. Back to the show.
This was the Canadian Minute presented by mankitchentv.com.
Asshole.
What? I was ready.
I quickly put that together in like 5 seconds. So.
Shit, that's impressive. You did that in 5 goddamn seconds. Hey, do we have like a live caller?
We have a live caller on the phone. Caller, welcome to the show.
Okay, I think I made it out of Maricopa County, so the sheriff can stop chasing me.
Okay, so we're not going to make the GoFundMe account to save your ass.
No, but by the way, Omega, fuck you. I heard the intro. I was listening to TuneIn. You dick.
What? I was concerned.
You were concerned that Alexa Bliss was going to kick my ass? Fuck you.
She could have.
She probably can.
Like, I mean, literally, she could have.
After that match, probably.
So,
but yeah, I'm traveling on I-10 on the way back because yeah, I've got work in the morning, so this is gonna be fun tomorrow.
Take a day for Christ's sakes! It's been 5 years.
I didn't even take a day today. What the hell are you talking about?
God damn it! I want to see your vacation pay accrual. Holy Christ!
I'm up to 400 hours if it gives you a ballpark figure.
Jesus Christ, kittens, you could probably retire in the next 5 weeks.
What, yeah, probably.
What's scary is he sent me math that he did for when he reaches 1,500. That's fucking scary. Anyway, thoughts on being there live for the show tonight?
Well, I can tell you, the crowd was hopping for the pre-show. I was so glad I rushed dinner to get there. Fucking hell. Okay, number one, Kurt Hawkins, when you're in Phoenix, do not say hello, Tucson.
That was...
I don't know if that part hit the stream or not, but when he does his own intro, he was like, hello, Tucson, and the crowd just went, what the fuck?
That was to get heel heat. Anyway.
No, I don't think it was.
No, I think it was. It was pre-recorded heel heat. That's what it was.
Whatever. and the fact, I didn't know Kurt Hawkins just turned redder and redder as the match went on.
Mm-hmm.
That was, he looked horrible by the end of the match.
Okay, so it wasn't the lighting.
I mean, by the end of the match, did you see his haircut?
No, because the funny thing is I thought the same thing. I was like, it's the lighting. And then I looked over, and Mojo Rawley is, like, bright white. I was like, never mind. And Renee Young is gorgeous in person. I got to walk by the pre-show set. Damn, Dean is a lucky man.
Do I need to remind you she's a Canadian? Canadian women are hot.
Rock, what's the Canadian counter up to right now?
About 8.
Okay, he's a little behind.
Yep, but he's
Canadian. There, are you happy? Am I catching up?
God.
Everyone's going to be drunk.
Get the hell off my lawn.
Right now, kind of competing with the point at WrestleMania sign drinking game.
Apparently, I was trying to make a house call today with Apollo Crews.
Yeah, there you were.
I know. I finally told him to look for the chair. I was like, oh, shit. Do I really get a point for this?
Kind of. Anyway. So, give me a general overall opinion from the show, crowd-wise, everything.
Okay, overall opinion. The 10 count needs to fucking die.
Yep.
Nikki Bella was definitely over in her quasi-hometown. The crowd loved Ziggler as he beat the hell out of Two Faces, so go figure. The match of the night in terms of crowd reaction was, I think, the one you were just getting to.
Harper and...
Which was...
Yeah.
Harper and Randy Orton. Orton was over with the crowd. Everyone wanted Luke Harper to win, and just the way that match played out just had the crowd going insane.
Yeah, it did.
That and, of course, the chamber finish sent everyone home very happy.
So, being there in person, tell me what the chamber structure looks like just being there.
The chambers, okay, from where I was sitting, it wasn't too bad if you can see pictures, except for the fact that I was basically right in line with Baron Corbin's pod. Which means everything from the front half of the ring was obscured. Uh-huh. The overall structure looked kind of cool. I wanted to see what it looks like on camera when I get home, because it's a lot more square. It seems like a hell of a lot taller, too.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot taller. 26 feet high, they said.
Yeah, but overall, it looked good. The one part that got me were the side panels on the outside of the ring. Before, they were a little more metal. This one seems more like extended padding.
Yeah,
the floors that extend from the ring are either padded or just canvas plywood.
Yeah,
which is...
Because they had some give. When you saw, like, Bray take the bump out there.
Yeah, because the whole point of redesigning the chamber is that new stadiums can't handle the weight of the old one. So they had to take out a lot of the steel for the new one.
Yeah, it looks like they kind of had to either push the scoreboard way up that normally hangs over the center of the court, or they took it down for the night to fit the chamber up there. But overall, I mean, the structure looked impressive for the new design, in my opinion. And I kind of like the two sliding doors for the pods instead of the kind of rotating one.
Yeah.
I think that played out a lot better. I didn't get to see the bump with Corbin and Dean. I just kind of saw the plexiglass fly, so I don't know how that came across.
It's called he threw him right into it and went smash.
Oh. You heard the smack, and you just heard the crowd kind of go, oh.
So.
But yeah, there was, there are some good reactions from the crowd with some of the things that happened that you guys are going to talk about.
Who was the most over tonight?
Overall, I would say Orton was the surprising one.
Okay.
Just with the way things are playing out, I mean, I knew he was going to get a decent reaction just because of the way things were going. Dolph was pretty over with the crowd as well. Anytime Cena showed up, there was a, you know, there's the dueling chant. Anytime they showed a picture of Roman Reigns, he was booed out of the damn arena. It wasn't even him, it was just pictures of him, I think, that late. Or the WrestleMania it ended with him holding the title and the fans just shit on it for 30 seconds.
I'm not really surprised by that at all. All right, that was the most over. Who was the least over tonight?
Either Kalisto and Apollo Crews, or when the camera wasn't on him, James Ellsworth in the luxury suite. People were giving him shit all night.
Got any examples of what they were saying?
I couldn't expressly hear, but there was about four or five people in that area that were just kind of going back and forth with him. And he's just sitting there. Dude looks even more like a goober in real life, too. Especially with that god-awful wardrobe they're making him wear now.
Uh-huh.
He looks like he stepped out of an Ed Hardy store, for God's sake. But, yeah, I would say that, like I said, Cena was kind of give and take. Other than that, yeah, I would say it was, when the entire crowd is chanting, "Thank you, Ziggler," while he's stomping away on some guy's ankle, kind of tells you the crowd's not feeling it.
Yeah, very evident on that one, yeah.
And the crowd could care less about tag team turmoil either. In person, they could give a shit.
Thank you.
So I would say the biggest reaction came when the Ascension came out and American Alpha was laid out, because the crowd went, "Holy shit, are they actually going to try and pull a trigger here?" To which everyone in my section was just yelling, "Pin him," instead of going for the Fall of Man, because considering he was laying out there for, 2 to 3 minutes?
Something like that, yeah.
Should have been able to get a good pin, but no, pick him up, get the move, and of course kick out at two.
And reaction to the big win. How'd the crowd like it?
Oh, crowd fucking loved it. I'll have to send pictures, but I took some of the fireflies. I love that they dropped the lights and had the fireflies with him in the center of the ring. In the chamber.
Yeah, that was really cool.
That came across really well in the arena, and I hope it came across well on camera. But yeah, that was a cool moment. They had the scene with Orton kind of peeking out in the entranceway, setting all that up.
Right.
But yeah, overall, I would say chamber match came off well. I like the new cell with the high spots that they could do. AJ is a fucking pinball in that match. Getting launched into every goddamn thing possible.
Him and Dean, yeah.
Yeah. Plus, I like the fact that Bray went to everyone with the lantern and just stood there with the light. It came across so cool with the lighting.
Yeah, it looked great on television. Not gonna lie.
All right.
Oh, his entrance was brilliant.
I can't wait to watch it on camera just to see how it all came across from beginning to end.
All right. Well, you drive safe, and we'll catch you down the road.
All right. I should have, but since I am driving, I don't have the results ready quite yet, but I'll have them for you tonight.
All right. Thank you.
Stay all down. Right. Talk to you guys later.
Later.
Bye.
See ya.
All right, that was our favorite intern, the unpaid intern.
Yeah, well, that too. We decided not to tell him that the results have already been tabulated.
Shh.
Oh,
my gosh.
I didn't say nothing.
I'm not going to look back into our Skype chat like in 4 days, so I actually will need them for other shows.
Shit.
So we're good. Anyway, so that was the intern. Let's get back into the show. Came back with his music, Luke Harper, Randy Orton. Very impressive.
Harper-Orton match of the night to this point.
Easily.
Without any doubts. Fucking enjoyable. They had some really good false finishes. The story played out perfectly in the ring with these guys, with what they told, they told it exactly bang on in the match.
They worked really, really hard, and you could tell they were. Like, you could see in some matches, they're just by the numbers, but these two, they were working.
It was almost like Orton was calling it.
Probably was.
on the fly.
They worked hard. You got, like, Order controlled for a while, but Luke's comeback was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when this matchup really picked up. And the selling Omega by both men in this one.
Oh, yeah. Luke has such such good expressions when he is selling. Just the way his eyes can, he can bug his eyes out so good after a big impact. I mean, everything he gets hit with looks like it hurt like fucking hell.
Tim, you're a dick.
Yeah, I know. Well, you deserve it.
So, yeah. Okay. Harper selling when he gets dropped on the table, that's one thing. And selling overall is great. They made the superplex spot look great. Because you weren't sure what the hell they were doing, and then Orton hit the huge superplex. It was great. Then there was this moment where Randy's setting up for the RKO. Luke hits the superkick. And then Randy Orton's selling of that superkick. Like, his feet were bent sideways. Selling this kick. It was amazing. He was, like, out on his feet. Yeah.
He was like, hey, crowd, watch. This is me, what I would look like if this really connected and hurt.
Pretty much, yeah.
Essentially. That's the job. It's what it should look like.
Well, nowadays, so many people just don't get it right.
Yeah.
Randy? Got it right.
Randy Orton is known to sell a super kick like it's $1 million. I mean, look at him and Shawn Michaels. Jesus. Yeah.
So, in the end, I guess it was a thumb to the eye and then an RKO. Randy Orton was your winner.
How about not just landing that RKO, but the selling of that RKO?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's great.
Boom!
Mm-hmm.
I want another match between these two, for Christ's sake.
Probably get it on SmackDown Live in the next 7 weeks.
You snicker now, but wait for 7 weeks.
They need a TV main event one of these weeks.
Hey, isn't Emelina supposed to debut tomorrow night?
Omega is patiently waiting for Emelina to debut. Because his fantasy, his fantasy
team. Down somebody. Come on.
Come on, Emelina. So, backstage, Nikki was being interviewed. Natty jumped her. They continued to fight. They brawled. And powder into the eye, and Maryse gets knocked down.
Maryse all messed up.
There's the beginning of your feud. There's your WrestleMania tease.
But do people pay attention to it?
Now they should. And then we go to the women's title match. Alexa Bliss and Naomi.
Oh my god.
Wow.
One, they had a foul in that last match.
I wasn't expecting the match the girls gave us.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
I wasn't that optimistic.
Oh, shit.
They had a decent match until the final 2 minutes.
Yeah. It was entertaining. It was enjoyable. Two sloppy fuck-ups thanks to Alexa Bliss.
No, one was on Naomi.
Which one was on Naomi?
When she landed the split leg the first time.
That was Naomi.
That was Naomi. Alexa was rolling the Naomi.
And she didn't see her.
Yeah. She had to wait another second and then hit the spot.
Yeah, you gotta blame Alexa on that one. Alexa, because it's on Alexa to be in position to take that bump immediately. That's on her.
Because
Naomi can't tell what the fuck's going on behind her. The whole thing is, okay, this is going to happen. I'm going to go up there, split leg, somersault, boom, right on top of you.
No, it was when she was getting out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first one when she was getting out of the way.
Oh, the first one. Well, yeah. I just described the second, the last one, which is still the same thing.
The second one was on Alexa. The first one,
the
Alexa,
pin.
Yeah. The first one, Alexa was getting out of the way. Naomi hit the move too quick and that's when the match fell apart because they were what do we do here? It's like, I think I hit you, but you're not selling that I hit you.
Let's go with it.
And we just went and continued on. We did the legs on the ropes and the pin, and it just sort of, that was where it all fell apart.
Yeah, now, that part of it right there and the end of the match, contrast that with what we saw previously. Here's what I was alluding to earlier when I said, oh, look, Randy must have called that in the ring. And as opposed to them sitting down and literally scripting out move for move for move for move before they get into the ring to do it. And this is what I'm talking about. When you set things up, like obviously was set up for the girls, one misstep and they have no training how to cover or recover. And that's one, I don't know, maybe that's a bonus of being a second generation, third generation professional wrestler growing up in the business, knowing because it's instinctive, because it's what you've seen your dad do or your grandfather.
Right. And I know from the last Intercontinental Elimination Chamber, they don't teach it now.
Good point.
True. But this is what's missing with training. And if anybody listening to us either live or in the archives, if any of you are in a wrestling school, this is very important. Bring it up with your trainer, because obviously it's not being covered. And if it's not being covered, you're not being trained by Storm Wrestling Academy. And I'm not saying that because, well, it's right here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I'm Canadian, blah, blah, blah. Canada, Calgary, yeah, blah, blah. No. Lance Storm is today's best trainer out there in North America. That's all there is.
I agree with this.
That's all there is to it. And he will cover shit like this. Okay, well, you fucked up, but this is what you do immediately.
Exactly.
You get into a rest hold and you talk to each other.
This is how you cover up.
Yep. And Lance will teach you that. So, guys, if your trainer is not telling you this, bring it up. Raise your fucking hand. But what if? What if? And I know a lot of people training to become wrestlers get intimidated by their trainer. Don't be. They should cover this shit, but sometimes shit slips and they don't. And well, they need you to ask them. Mike, go ahead.
Well, the thing of it is also that you guys got to realize is that some of them don't know certain ways of covering up, and that's bad. That's why I would do anything to train with Lance Storm, because him being in the business for a while and training with the best, it's like, okay, what happens? Like, case in point, what happens if the same thing, moonsault, all right, cool, let's do this. All right, this is how you cover up. Boom, 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 boom. Or someone goes for a cross body and you are screwed up. Like, it's like, oh my God, I can't get you up, I can't get you up. All right, cool, you can't get me up. All right, cool, go for a world's strongest slam or something. Boom.
Yep.
Don't make it sloppy. Make it look good.
Yep. Mike, yes. All you need is $2,500 Canadian to pay for Lance's school. And if you ever come up with that, you got a place to stay.
So that's about $7 US, so you'll be good at any time.
That is actually $1,908.
You just got to work at Wendy's for a week and then pull a Booker T. Oh! But don't get caught, son.
Yeah, I'm trying not to.
Please don't tell him I said that.
I won't.
He's still waiting on hold. Anyway, moving on. Naomi is your new women's champion, Omega. Are you surprised?
I kind of am.
Are you good surprised or bad surprised or, like, wow, surprised?
Somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
Because on one hand, I felt that was a really short reign for Alexa after how well she's been doing.
Yep.
Especially for how, like, okay, come out with a little bit of Harley Quinn in her costume and the crowd immediately loves her. Mm-hmm. I kind of expected it to go a little bit farther than that. At the same time, Naomi was around when we were still calling them divas.
Yeah, this is well, she's, before then.
She's worked really freaking hard. Like, she's one of the few that's been able to keep up with a new crop of women's wrestlers that they've been churning out of NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she did a great job going from Funkadactyl to failed heel run into something that's like genuinely exciting to come out and genuinely good in the ring.
It means the investment in all those outfits is paying off.
Yeah, finally. And the reaction of the crowd, you deserve this. That was, you know, yeah, okay, sure. Again, wrestling is scripted. Everybody knows beforehand who's going to win what. But still, as a person standing in the ring, to hear something like that from the crowd after you knock off what was the favorite bad girl. Let's face it, the movie Suicide Squad kind of sucked.
Kinda.
It's running theaters was almost as short as Alexa Bliss's title run.
No, Alexa was longer.
Understated, Omega.
God, they show that movie in Guantanamo Bay.
I said I was being understated.
So, it was a great moment, especially the crowd got really excited for her, and the crowd was really quiet during the match. It was great, you know, the this is awesome was you deserve was awesome after the fact.
Now, the thing about it is, was the crowd quiet because they weren't into it, or were they quiet because they were paying some kind of fucking attention? There are two different crowds in the world that shut up during your wrestling match and then give you all the accolades afterwards. The Japanese, number one, and then the Canadians are number two.
Let's call back the intern. He could tell us. Anyway, moving to our main event. It is
something to ask him.
I'll make sure to ask him. Moving to our main event, the Elimination Chamber. But first, before we do that, thanks to Media Lab Books, available on February 28th, the official WWE Book of Rules and How to Break Them, local bookstores everywhere on February 28th, here's the Elimination Chamber rules. 2 miles of chain, 10 tons of steel, 16 frames, 300 pounds each, black stainless steel. 4 superstars enter, one by one, after their bulletproof pods open, but not spearproof or Mark Henry.
Not bodyproof.
Or Mark Henry proof. Two superstars start the match very reluctantly. Rule of physics, flesh plus steel equals pain. Eliminations occur by pinfall or submission. Last superstar standing wins, but if you win, you probably won't be standing. The official rules of the Elimination Chamber. The book is available on February 28th. Buy it. Now we move to the match. Brand new chamber. So, Omega, you didn't like the look of it early. Did your opinion change?
Nope.
Wow.
What don't you like?
I don't like going from something that is a truly unique looking structure to something that just looks like a different Hell in a Cell. I don't see how this match is any different than, say, a cell where a new entrant comes in every 5 minutes like the Royal Rumble. I know, it just felt like... Like, cause there's something cool about the round shape, and there's something cool about the dome top. It's like, literally, I'm watching a wrestling match in fucking Thunderdome.
Wait a minute, wasn't Thunderdome round?
It's a dome.
So,
but I liked that look. It was a unique looking structure, and this just felt like it made it, like, it got generic on me. I mean, there's advantages. I could definitely see where aerial maneuvers are easier.
Clearly.
Yeah. It seems like there's more space to work on the outside, and I assume flat walls are a little bit easier to work with than the weird curves they had before. I don't know. It felt like it took some of the personality out of the match itself.
Mike, what do you think of the structure?
It was a... I hate to say this, but I think it was the WWE's affordable Elimination Chamber, because they can't afford all that steel anymore. I think the chamber itself was...
Hold on, they can afford this. They own the steel.
Let me rephrase. because it's not a generic... Because it's not the original one. They had to do a special one. It kind of made me sad, because as soon as I saw the WWE logo on the Elimination Chamber, I was just like, you motherfuckers.
It's like, even the new chamber needs LED boards now.
Exactly. And I'm just like, what? Like, fuck. No. Leave. What are you doing? Blasphemy. But all in all, it was smaller. It's smaller than what I'm used to. Not to mention, it was like, when they do the timer and shit, it's like, where the fuck is my shit? Where's my original chamber? Where's the real music thingy? And I just... God damn it, Eric Bischoff.
Tim, what do you think of the chamber?
Well, I knew you were going to leave me for last, because when I first saw it, I'm like, I don't know. And then halfway through, I'm like, okay, I get it. How many, what do you call those things? Cells.
Pods.
Yeah, how many pods does the round chamber have?
4. 4.
That's it? I thought they had 5.
Why would they have 5? There's
only... How would they have 5?
4 in the round chamber.
4 ring posts, 4 pods.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought there was 5. Anyway, there's something about the round dome. I get it. This one's safer for the workers. This is where I'm torn. They have more ability to do more amazing looking stuff and risk getting injured less. But Omega has a point. The dome's original. It doesn't look like a glorified Hell in a Cell on steroids. However, the new design Elimination Chamber, I'm thinking people are going to be upset with it, because this is not the original. If they had debuted it as this, nobody would have cared and they would have accepted it. nobody's going to accept this because they don't want it to change because it loses a little bit of its elan, uniqueness, panache, and all those other foreign words. That's where I'm torn. I was entertained by this pay-per-view's Elimination Chamber. I got used to the new shape of the chamber really, really quickly. And the second that bell rang and Styles and Cena squared off, even before they used any of the corners or the top of the pods or anything, I saw the potential this one has. And I'm like, God damn it. It's just too bad that they couldn't make the dome higher. I mean, this one here, a lot less chance of crushing Triple H's trachea than in the round one. Really. I mean, you know, that's the one image that should stick with everybody when it comes to the original Elimination Chamber.
Oh, yeah, it was
is
terrifying.
RVD crushing Triple H's trachea. Am I right, Omega?
Yeah. Like, and honestly, it's ironic because that spot should be the number one argument for all the changes they made to this chamber.
That is what was in the back of my mind.
Which is weird because it was the first chamber.
Mm-hmm.
We had to go through 18 more after that before they went, you know, we can really fly around in this like we're like want people to.
Yeah. Rock, do you remember what I said it on Skype?
What'd you say, Tim?
Something about it took them long enough to redesign the fucking thing after they crushed Triple H's throat.
Yeah. That was the thing.
That was definitely a thing. So, all yeah. Right.
So, now getting to the match. The intern mentioned it during the phone call, but Bray Wyatt in his entrance, staring everyone down, was one, they were all lit up in like purple.
Well, it's like I said, his entrance was brilliant, and they had, let's face it, that little LED light that he carries is not going to give that look to all the wrestlers, especially, you know, through the plexiglass. They had the spotlights underneath hidden, aimed perfectly for the effect.
Oh, it was well put together. Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, that was awesome. AJ and Cena started. They had the wrestling match portion of the match. Ambrose comes in third, and his reaction was like, who, me? I'm in? Cool. And then things got crazy from there.
Thanks, Ambrose, for starting the crazy.
He did the diving elbow off the top of the pod. It's like, oh, okay, cool. We're going right for it. We had the Super German to Ambrose and Styles. Bray came in at number four. He started just knocking people down. We had Cena and Styles, they climbed the chamber wall itself. You're like, guys, don't kill yourselves 10 minutes into the match. Kind of need you for a little bit longer. He got knocked off. We had Ambrose and Styles fighting on a pod, which was new.
That I liked. The video guy in me really appreciates some of the shots and cinematography going on in that.
Oh, yep. the one.
Well, it's not just that. They used the right thickness plexiglass. It was thin enough that it had enough give. It was thick enough. It didn't crack and break. It was loose enough. It made a really satisfying smack every time his face hit that thing.
The one camera shot, the overhead camera shot was great. There were so many great camera shots in this one. The spot where Bray grabbed AJ by the neck, flipped him over, and Bray got powered up at the same time was awesome. Corbin came in. He just sort of tossed Dean around for a while. Like, how strong are these steel chains? Will they break? Ambrose, we're going to find out.
What happens if you get launched into this like a lawn dart? I don't know. Hang on. Let's try it.
Let's find out.
I need someone to do the testing.
Yeah, you need someone to do the testing. You really, really do. Okay. I need to point something out. If you're going to send in picks for the chamber show, you don't send them in at 12:45 a.m. Thank you, Aaron Frost.
Who sent in picks of the chamber? What?
Aaron Frost just posted picks in our Facebook group.
Please tell me he got a few wrong.
Bella won wrong because there was no contest. I don't know who Orin is, but he picked Orin to win a match. Aplisto.
Okay, he's either drunk.
I get Aplisto, that's Apollo and Kalisto, but still. Orin
He's just being a jackass, and here it is. He's posting like an hour and 45 minutes after the pay-per-view ended, and he's getting them wrong. Subway 2.0, maybe?
Well, he actually got... Anyway. Moving on. Back to the match.
He's posting after the pay-per-view and getting them wrong is the point.
No, he got them right.
Well, then he cheated. Fuck you, Aaron.
Like, he got it right. He just screwed up Orton's name, calling him Orin. Anyway.
Well, kind of like how you half the time pronounce it, so it's all good.
Fuck you, Tim.
I said half the time.
One of the best spots in the match was The Miz. Just staring down at Corbin, like, oh, crap.
I'm not coming out. Fuck you, Baron.
God.
I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I'm just going to stand right here frozen.
Not happening.
And then Dean's like, okay, cool. 1, 2, 3. I'll roll you up. Corbin's gone.
I call bullshit.
Okay, why?
Well, go ahead and explain what happened, then I'll tell you why.
No, tell me why first.
After the pinfall and Corbin's eliminated and beats the living snot out of Dean, so Dean gets like the immediate pin, which is the first thing that The Miz does. I call bullshit. That was bullshit. And now that was. That, well, here's why it's brilliant, kids. Because it made me call out bullshit.
That's the thing. Every now and then, Miz does something that reminds me that I really like heel Miz.
Uh-huh.
Every now and then, he breaks from typical egotistical heel and does something just
old school.
Really, really good. This was really, really good. Just, you know, taking that out, you know, like being that opportunistic. You know, letting Dean take care of Corbin, letting Dean get laid out, and then just staying there in the pod, just watching for that big door to close. And the second it's closed, he dives out. The second he knows Corbin's not going to attack him and can't get back into the ring.
Yep.
Jumps in, gets the pinfall. Perfect heel.
The entire thing was absolutely brilliant. You motherfuckers, you got Dean eliminated that quick. God damn it. Jesus Christ, I wanted to see some more action from Dean. He's my favorite. And if he gets eliminated, I'm going to boycott the rest of this pay-per-view.
Hashtag canceled WWE Network.
But it was absolutely great. It got a reaction. And that's what wrestling is supposed to do. Whether it goes the way you want it to go or it doesn't go the way you want it to go. You're reacting. And all of you fucks, oh, I'm done wrestling. I'm going to cancel. I'm not going to watch this shit anymore. You're coming back tomorrow night to watch Raw. Don't fucking tell me you're not.
So.
Right?
Yeah, they're always going to come back. It's a thing. Just don't lie, anyone. Corbin beat down Ambrose, setting up a potential feud there, heading into WrestleMania, or at least SmackDown. Then Miz went crazy, hitting all...
Because he's a crazy fucker.
He's a crazy fucker. And he did all the Bryan kicks to Wyatt and Cena. And, like, Bray would take the kicks and Cena would take a kick, but it's like he just sort of fell down and just, I don't know, weird. But Miz was dominating for a while, hits the skull-crushing finale on Bray on the outside, goes for the crossbody, gets caught right into an AA, and the Miz is gone. So your final three are AJ Styles, John Cena, and Bray Wyatt.
And Rizzo, please, Bray, please let it be Bray. Please let it be Bray. Come on, you guys, please. Get rid of Cena. Do what you can. That was the call heard around the internet tonight.
And we got exactly what we wanted.
Don't blow my rant out of the water, fucker.
Just saying, we got rid of Cena. Styles and Wyatt worked together for a while, and then it's like AJ got cocky and, well, didn't work. We had a 10 knuckle shuffle. We had an AA to Wyatt. Styles clash for a 2 count. The forearm no into an AA for a 2 count. We had a sign point from John Cena as he climbed on top of the pod. And he
now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm just going to, because you did the sign point thing. Those of you who are playing the point to WrestleMania sign drinking game.
How are you still conscious?
Halfway through chamber, you had to have been blind drunk.
Cena did the crossbody onto both Styles and Wyatt. A little bit of back and forth between Cena and Wyatt. Sister Abigail to John Cena. John Cena eliminated.
Now, there's two things about Cena's participation in this match that caught my eye. Number one is the fact that he went out before the final two. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. before that was, this might be the first time I can remember him hitting the five moves of Doom, like all the way through on AJ. Cause that was like the whole thing about their feud for the longest time was that AJ had that scouted and he, and Cena couldn't actually get him in the same old sequence.
Yeah.
Until tonight.
Until tonight.
Wow. AJ was distracted. I blame Baron.
Apparently Cena has to hold the belt in order for it to work on him.
There you go.
No, yeah, I like when they do this. I like when the champion goes out early in a match like this because it makes the finale of it that much more exciting.
Like, who the fuck's going to win? Are they going to give it to AJ or are they going to give it to Bray? I don't know. I better watch.
And it's a lot less predictable.
Yep.
It's like you expect the champion to make it to the end of the match. Whether they're going to win or lose, you expect the champion to have that strong showing. So when he goes out, all of a sudden, it's like, it's a free-for-all.
Mm-hmm.
Because
all bets are off.
All bets are off, and now you're guaranteed to have a new champion.
And kudos to both Ronaldo and JBL for selling that.
Not Otunga?
I don't think he even tried properly. I don't think he was even clued into the fact that it happened.
He was still trying to figure out.
Sign the petition!
He was still trying to figure out how Mickey was working off the ring rust.
It's easy. She spat out a kid 7 years within the last 7 years.
We had some great stuff between AJ and Bray. Really good stuff. Good false finishes. AJ had a pretty springboard 450.
That was nice, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I like how the announcers went, he hurt his ribs.
Oh, they sold it.
Mm-hmm.
They helped, well, let me rephrase. They helped him sell it because AJ was doing a good job of selling a rib injury or abdominal discomfort at the very least.
But it was just great selling there. He goes for his big move, the forearm, the flying forearm, the phenomenal forearm, whatever you want to call it. Gets caught. Bray hits the Sister Abigail. And your new WWE champion, Bray Wyatt.
I have to say that this is the first time in a long time I've seen a match with Bray Wyatt in it, and he was believable from start to finish. He actually came across as menacing and a threat and the new face of fear as opposed to a member of the Devil's Rejects.
When he's motivated, he's awesome.
And tonight?
Yeah.
Obviously, he was extremely motivated because he was, in my opinion now, he was very awesome tonight.
Well, tonight, well, you knew he was motivated because he broke out the spider walk without the help from the ring post.
Yep.
It's that fine line. Like, you can tell when he's really into what's going on because it's the line between Bray Wyatt, the guy who challenged the Undertaker's right to be, like, the dominant force of fear in the WWE.
Yep.
Versus the Bray that just comes out to job on SmackDown, who is basically, like, fat Rob Zombie.
Mm-hmm. Mike, you got a take? I want to hear your thoughts on this whole thing.
I'm about damn time. That's the only thing I can say. It's about fucking time. I get the fact of, you know, paying your dues and everything, but this guy should have gotten it sooner. And now, it now leads the question, what's going to happen next?
Well, we said it at the Rumble when Randy won.
But see, now there's a lot of possibilities that could happen at WrestleMania now. It could be a triple threat.
Won't be a triple threat.
Nope.
No.
It's Randy and Bray, one-on-one straight out.
Okay. Well, if you guys think that, cool. I just think that I want to see where this is going to go. And if they're going to give him the run he deserves. If they do, then I'm fucking happy.
Okay, Mike, I'll tell you right now, as far as your opinion on what he deserves, the next 4 weeks are going to be huge and speak volumes. It's not just going to be the crowd reaction, because let's face it, yeah, the crowd is going to react. They reacted like crazy tonight. They're all behind Bray. I mean, it's, you know, the Fireflies every time he comes out. Mm-hmm. But if he shows that same motivated pace in the ring as he did tonight between now and WrestleMania, they're going to keep the belt on him and let him beat Randy. If he slips, They're going to change the booking and let Randy win it. And Randy will be a transitional champion. This is Bray's moment to shine. They said, you've got the ball. It's up to you to run with it or fumble.
I'm going to quote Triple H here because he tweeted this out. A man of his own creation, he followed his own path to the WWE Championship. Congratulations to Bray Wyatt. Hashtag, we are NXT. That sums it up right there. We've talked about it on the rack where 6 years ago, they decided he was nothing and they sent him back down to developmental.
No one saw a future for Husky Harris.
He was punted in the head by Randy Orton. He's now going to main event WrestleMania as WWE champion against that same man.
Can you imagine if they actually were, if they had the guts to bring up that level of history?
They should.
It's like you actually...
No, they
like,
shouldn't. But.
Like, you actually punted this man into existence?
You created this monster.
But that's where we stand. So Bray Wyatt is your champion. Enjoy it, people. Enjoy it.
You know, overall, I would say that this pay-per-view was just over okay.
This was a one-match build-around show, and that match delivered. You got Luke Harper and Randy Orton, which really delivered. That's all that matters on this show. Everything else was your typical SmackDown stuff. That's fine. It's what it should have been.
With a few standouts, be happy that the women had three matches on the card without being knocked down to the pre-show.
Yeah, not only that, how many Elimination Chamber pay-per-views have we seen where the entire fucking card sucked except for the Chamber? Or everything fucking sucked, including the Chamber. And it's a one, like you said, Rock, it's a one-match build-up pay-per-view. Tonight, I was just going to say, tonight, we got good matches. Plural. Mike, chime in.
And see, this is why I already knew that we were going to have a new champion. When has John Cena ever walked in any elimination chamber match before or after and walked out as champion by the end of the night?
No. Well, yeah, okay. The caveat, by the end of the night.
Yeah, because I have to be very specific of that.
Yeah, because we have one situation where he wins the chamber match, but Edge cashes in. And then another situation where he wins the match and
Batista.
Yes.
You talk one at a time. Anyway, continue.
And to put the seal on the deal, and Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, and this is a huge deal. Bray won clean. Bray Wyatt won fucking clean.
Without any help of the family.
Better than that, he beat AJ fucking Styles and John fucking Cena to win the WWE Championship.
And both of them he beat clean, yes.
Clean, yes. But the emphasis on clean. My thing is, it's about damn time. Bray Wyatt is finally getting the big payoff. I see it now. Yes, these few weeks are going to be amazing. But my hope is that we shall see what happens after WrestleMania.
If you can't enjoy fucking wrestling, stop watching fucking wrestling. No, I'm fucking serious.
Well, no, here's the thing. Okay, this is WWE. You should know what you're going to expect when you watch WWE. Okay, everybody's saying, oh, I miss the Attitude Era because the Attitude Era had the exact same shit going down. If you're remembering it differently, you're remembering it with rose-colored glasses. And yeah, you can go back and watch, you know, WWE Network's presentation of the Attitude Era. They're only going to show you the fucking best. Attitude Era had hits. Massive, major, huge letdowns, just like this era. Just like, what did they call that? Ruthless Aggression. What was after that? Okay? It hasn't changed. You should know WWE by now and what you're gonna get.
Somewhere in that Ruthless Aggression era, for some reason, a friend of mine inspired me to remember Sean Stasiak. If you want to remember anything about the... If you want to take away everything about the Ruthless Aggression era, remember, shit like that happened.
Yeah.
At least it was better than meat.
Which was Attitude Era.
Yes.
And that's one of the first things that came to mind with one of the dumbass fucking things Attitude Era did. Just one of many.
Ruthless Aggression, two words, the dicks. There's a lot of stuff that people can talk about. You've always got your fuck ups in. You've always had your mistakes in certain eras. The era for the Ruthless Aggression, something that I can count. But nevertheless, there's a big outcome from people that have come from that era. And to this day, you know, I don't regret it. So, yeah. And I think that sums it up.
Good summation. Perfect summation. Does this mean that you rest your case?
I rest my case. To ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Heartbreak Mike giving his input on the Elimination Chamber.
Oh, that's what she said.
You know, she did, man. She did.
It's all good, bro. You know what I'm saying? Homer. All right. So, basically, that's it, everybody. That's our Elimination Chamber review show. It's really late, so we're going to say goodnight. But before we do, we're going to tell you, tune in tomorrow night immediately following Raw for the Raw post show.
I thought you were going to go over the results, Tim.
Oh! Well, I thought you didn't want me to because you were going to wait until the intern sent it to you.
No, I said I'm going to need them for another show.
Oh, so it's a good thing that I just like sent them to you in text form as opposed to just pasting them into the Skype chat, huh?
Sure.
Okay, fucker. Yeah, okay, so here it is. For those of you that played WTR Pick'em tonight, I didn't put this in any proper order for the most correct to the least correct. I just listed them as they were listed on our sheet. And I went 4-4. Omega, you went 4-4. Mike, you went 5-3, but there's an asterisk. One of your three losses was a match that you did not pick. So you could have been 6-2, maybe. Or still 5-3. I don't know. The random
what match was that?
Wait, what?
Huh?
What? Wait a minute. Time out. What, Rock?
Why does he get a loss if he didn't pick it?
Because it was a match that held and he didn't pick, so it goes in the loss column. Because still, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't go in the loss column. We always just null and void that.
I changed
the rules. Wait. What
changed
match?
The rules. Mike is 5-2.
Wait, what match did I not do?
Which one did you not do? I'm sorry. No, that was Omega, not Mike.
And technically speaking, Omega did make the pick for it.
Okay, it's not on the sheet.
Because it came in later after the intern left for the show.
Okay, and what was Omega's pick?
He picked Mojo Rawley.
Yeah, see, he went 4-4. Mike, I was just giving you a hard time. It's 5-3. The random thing picker also went 5-3. That's the first time the fucking things broke 400. Yeah, 500. Rock, you and Lindsay both went 4-4. Your 8-ball went 3-5. 2K17 went 3-4. Rob is 5-3. Sub, 4-4.
Job, I'm pretty sure I went 5-3.
Yeah.
And the intern went 4-4.
Okay. Tune into the Rack Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern when the intern sends me the correct results because apparently Tim did things.
Shut up, Omega. You went 5-3. Okay, now for the listeners, all right?
I don't trust these, but continue.
No, you can trust these. You can trust.
You've validated yourself now.
You can trust these, okay? Now, I've had my fun. I'll be serious because I was just reading off everybody involved with the website.
No. Tim is now going to name off every listener who didn't pick anything. You all scored 0-8.
You're all 0-8, and Bret Hart would be very disappointed. But no, Michael Peterson? Went 5-2. Sheila, 3-5. Josh is 3-4. Tommy C, 3-4. And Derek, you're batting 500 at 4-4. And that's the results.
Maybe. We'll find out Thursday when the
intern... my lawn!
Find out Thursday when the intern actually gives me the correct sheet.
Goddamn heathen kids.
Like, what? Okay, anyway, we're done now, Tim.
All right, yeah. Tomorrow, immediately following Rod's the Raw Post Show. 3 hours wrapped into 30 minutes.
Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that goes down. So we head into the Fastlane pay-per-view. It's the Festival of Friendship tomorrow on Monday Night Raw. So we'll talk about it on the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, and of course, Thursday night, the multi-time, multi-award-winning congratulations for the 2017 victory win and all that other stuff. The Rack with Lindsay Ward.
We'll talk NXT, we will talk SmackDown, and we'll talk Elimination Chamber and all the news you can possibly handle. It's Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Now, before that, Tuesday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/Rack Radio Show. We're going to do some more simulations of some stuff.
Cool. Twitchulations. How come you don't do it on the website?
Because it's all set up for twitch.tv/Rack Radio Show, and I'm not changing anything.
Suck. What are you saying?
Why? Why, Tim?
Just because.
Anyway. Because, you know, Tim lost his championship.
I won it back.
Hey, Dad. You can see it all now at youtube.com/Rack Radio Show.
I won the fucking rematch.
Watch it at twitch.tv/Rack Radio Show live 11:30 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays. But Thursday night, it is the Rack. RackRadioShow.com, Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play.
So somebody's bitching and complaining about me intentionally fucking up the intern's pick'ems, and then I read Fuck You Time. Yeah, way to be fucking up my name. Saturday, midnight-ish, as close as I get to it, another edition of the Wild, the Wack, and the Unusual, the illegal in 35 states, CB Radio.
Go back and listen to last night's episode where we do the Greater Than Great Debate for Vacations, presented by the Team Chat. He had some interesting selections. Check it out, cbradiolive.com. This Saturday, we're doing the Greater Than Great Debate on presidents. 128 presidents. Tell you who is the greatest of all.
You've only had 45, including dummy.
But we're doing fictional.
We're not the only country with a president, Tim.
And we're doing from movies and television shows and beyond.
Oh, Harrison Ford.
So we're doing all that. We're combining it all.
It's gonna be off my plane.
It's going to be a fun thing.
So that's going to be a new catchphrase.
So check it out Saturday night, midnight-ish. See Rudy Live on Facebook, Twitter, and.com. Hashtag Blim Rob when a celebrity dies.
Yeah, next Sunday night, back to our regular time, 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern. Another edition, WTR, Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can I say something about that?
I suppose.
Should the Royal Rumble be later in the year? Or closer to WrestleMania? We'll talk about it next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, you teaser artist.
I'm a teaser.
You tease artist.
At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you done with the Wild Talk Radio plugs?
At WTR Sunday night on Facebook and Twitter.
There you go. Yeah, follow me on the Twitter at Flames Forums. For now, that's all I'm going to tell you. Omega.
Mm-hmm. As usual, everything I do can generally be found under the name TJ Omega, unless you're
not everything.
Unless you're the Facebook type, in which case you go to TJ Reviews for all my updates. However, over on Twitter, it is TJ Omega. Over on YouTube, where I'm posting things constantly, it is TJ Omega. And then, of course, there is TJOmega.org for a bunch of exclusive stuff.
You need to come up with a redirect for your Facebook to have it go TJOmega.org/Facebook and take you right to your Facebook page.
That's one way to do it.
That way it's all synced together.
Well, it only took you 18 years to figure that one out, Rock.
I've known about it for a while. I've just went
holy shit, it's a Chevy Monza. Never mind.
Okay, Mike, plug some stuff.
And if anybody wants to see the black guy, come on and hit me up on the WTR Oreo, and I'm on Twitter. And also, you can hit me up on the little project I'm doing on Facebook. Look up on Facebook, United Wrestling. See what we got there. There will be a video out this week, so I'm letting you guys know that. Let's see what it's all about.
Yeah, I'm curious now because United We Stand. See what I did there?
Actually, it's funny. The logo is United We Stand, United We Wrestle.
You're welcome. I think.
Bye, people.
I don't know. Have a great week, everybody. We'll catch you next Sunday night right here, WTR Sunday night.
WildTalkRadio.com.